Shank Baggily. Shank Baggily. Shank Baggily. Hello and welcome to Shapbaggily, an old Lincolnshire adjective to describe absolutely anything loose and disorderly, which tends to sum up my conversations quite nicely, be it on my own or with a guest. My name is Katie Johnson and we're going to be joined by a few guests today, including Jane Beadle, a finalist from Bake Off Series 7, but also the winner of the Christmas Special 2018. Hope you'll stay with me for that. Episode 2 of Series 2 then, and other things with the same number. Barbie dolls sold somewhere on Earth every second. Places on Earth named Hell, one being in Norway and the other in the Cayman Islands. And sets of false teeth found on British beaches during the Beach Watch survey in 1998. Ah, so that's where you left them. Hope this finds you well wherever you are in the world, and thank you for my birthday messages in the week. Here in the UK, our streets, towns and villages are decked in bunting and union flags, ready for the coronation of King Charles III tomorrow. I happened to be working last weekend with former Metropolitan Police officer Raisha Asgasandis, so took the opportunity to ask Ray if she had been involved in any royal occasions.
I was part of the security for when the Queen visited V&A Museum in London. And I was in a very interesting position. I was right on top of the roof on the glass dome. So if any of you have been to the V&A, you will know, you look up, you see this amazing glass dome. I was one of the police officers walking around making sure Our Majesty was safe.
Oh, wow. So you can imagine then just how much of a force it's going to be for the coronation tomorrow.
Yes, absolutely. You know, everyone's hand to the deck. And every little detail will have been thought through, rehearsed, all eventualities would have been thought about. But yeah, it's going to be amazing.
Because this is the first time in our lifetimes, really, because Her Majesty was there for so long. So Some of us weren't born, some of us maybe little. So this is a big deal. Oh, do you wish you were back in the capital?
I do, actually. Just to say I was there. To be part of it, but I will be watching on TV. Yeah. Not quite the same. But yeah, it's historic. You know, how often do we get a new monarch? Obviously not that often in our case.
And the thing is, though, it could be that we get two before we depart. You never know.
Well, you don't know. And I think certainly for children, they will definitely see another monarch. But yeah, I think it is something about our nation and a tradition that's been going on for thousands of years.
Yeah, yeah. The reason I asked was purely because you used to be a policewoman in the Met. Obviously not now. Mind you, you're still dressed in black and white, which makes me smile. But you're now doing your own Indian cookery classes and you're going to be doing your spice curry kits. You're going to be doing a recipe for us in a little while. Mm-hmm. What are you going to be doing?
I'm going to do a bit of a street food called Boti Kebab, which is basically lamb marinated with lots of spices, chilies, garlic, and then just fried, usually on a stone, you know, a hot stone. And then you just wrap it up in a nice paratha or something delicious. And there you go.
Something you touched on the other day, though, when we were working together, was if you were going to do a curry. I mean, curry is vast, isn't it? It could be anything, but you said there's a kind of the mecca of ingredients.
Yes.
So folk listen to this thinking, I want to do a curry. What should they be using? What should they have in that store cupboard?
Right, well, you definitely need some onions, and then you will need some garlic, ginger. Most Indians will have a garlic and ginger paste in their fridge, and together with that, the spices you need are really simple. It's chili powder, turmeric, and coriander, and then of course salt.
And that's it.
That's it. That pretty much makes the base for most curries, and then obviously you add more layers of spices to that. So you can add various other ground spices, you can add whole spices like cumin, you can fry dried chilies, mustard seeds, curry leaves, and then the flavors will just develop.
You're on a desert island, you can only have three spices. What are they going to be?
Definitely want salt, coriander, I think.
Okay.
And chili.
Do you know we are genetically programmed to whether when we're born we like coriander or not?
Is that so? I had no idea.
I've learned something today, and now I've passed that on to you. My work here is done.
Wow. Well, I'm literally blown away. I had no idea.
So, yes, it's the fresh coriander. And if you think it tastes of soap, then it's because of your DNA. Ray mentioned V&A, the Victoria and Albert Museum, a must if you're in London. Glyn and I were there in February. I took Glyn and my sister Leslie because we went to see the Tina Turner show, which was amazing. If you ever get the chance to see it, wow. But anyway, we hadn't been to Buckingham Palace or the Mall for quite a while, so we had a nosy. Oh, it is beautiful. On the telly, I think it always looks so much bigger. But it is stunning. Anyway, while we'd be there, they'd obviously started regilding all the railings and the gates and the area where the press are going to be and all the world media. That's all been cleared, ready for lots of temporary structures. It's a heck of a thing. So they've been planning for months and months and months. And we do wish him well and the family well for tomorrow. Not sure if I've ever told you about my one encounter with His Majesty. It was at a dairy farming event, years ago, years and years and years ago. And I bumped into him on my way to the toilet. I shouldn't think he'll remember. Maybe if one day I receive an award, which is most unlikely. But if I do, I'll be able to remind him. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a busy week. Glyn and I were working at Eastern Chilli Festival in Herefordshire with a great lineup of chefs and demonstrators, including Rhianne Caffell from VegLife. Now, Rhianne has just been awarded Best Vegan Egg Product in the Vegan Food and Living magazine for her Scotch egg. But what was she showcasing with us?
Cauliflower is so versatile, you can do so much with it. Mm. Today we're going to be battering it to give it a bit of a spice and give it a different texture as well, so it's still soft on the inside but crispy on the outside.
Chop up some cauliflower, small. Now you did say small pieces.
Yeah, the smaller the better, just because otherwise you get it a little bit too soft in the inside, so then you can get that real crispiness if you get small bite-sized pieces.
So you chop them up small, then what we're doing?
So then we're going to make a batter. So it's 95 grams of plain flour, a teaspoon of paprika and 2 teaspoons of garlic powder, a bit of salt and pepper, and then 180 mils of milk. So today I'm using soy milk as it's a plant-based recipe, and soy milk has the least flavourings to it of the plant milks.
That was interesting because you said the almond one and the oat one, it would come through, it would taint it.
Yeah, so you just get a bit of more of a sweetness and a slight flavouring, especially with coconut milk as well, it can be quite overpowering, mm-hmm. whereas the soy milk is quite an impartial flavour, so it doesn't change the recipe too much.
And we put it in a hot oven for about 200 Fahrenheit it was about 15 minutes, wasn't it? Then you got it out and you brushed it with what? What was that you were doing?
So we made a spicy glaze. So it's 60 grams of sriracha or any chili sauce that of your choice. It's got a tablespoon of maple syrup in it to give it a bit of the sweetness to take the hit off the kick of chili, and then 2 tablespoons of vegetable oil, and then mix that all together and then glaze over our cauliflower and pop it back in the oven for another 20 minutes.
And then you did it with a ciabatta, which was fabulous, but I love the tzatziki. You did your own
quick tzatziki with Greek yogurt. I used an Alpro, which is a plant-based yogurt, and then grated a cucumber through it. I just squeezed out all of the water before I added it, and then a clove of garlic and a little teaspoon of mint sauce as well.
So a quick recipe for you if you fancy doing cauliflower a little different. It was really quite amazing the things we learned over the weekend, including, did you know that the Scoville scale, the one that you measure the heat of chilies, it's also used for ginger. The heat of it, apparently, I didn't know, changes. So it becomes milder when boiled, I think that's right, milder when boiled, but hotter when dried. I know. Right then, time to meet our next guest on Chat Bagley, a former garden designer who entered the Great British Bake Off tent in 2016 and went all the way to the final, and then 2 years later went on to win the Christmas special. It's the rather lovely Jane Beadle, who on Instagram describes herself, and I quote, as a chef, a baker, and golfer. When did that happen?
That's a very good question, actually. I used to golf a lot. Not a lot, really, I suppose, because we were working before I had the children. So the children are now 29 and 32. So it was a jolly long time ago. And we used to go out and just play on a Sunday, really, we were a member of a little golfing society in Penge. And so the pub that we were we used to drink at has long since been turned into a block of flats, but there used to be a group of us that would go out on a Sunday morning, and I was an honorary chap because there were no ladies in this golf society, and we would head out and just try and play golf wherever we could get on, really. And it's all a bit more strict now, and had a great time. It was fantastic, and it was such a mix of people. We had plumbers and builders and upholsterers and solicitors and, you know, surveyors. And it was lovely. It was really lovely. It was such a great group of people. But I then gave up once I had the children, more or less. You know, when we walked the dogs, we might take the golf club and I might hit a couple of little chips or something, but really there wasn't time for both of us to be on the golf course. And actually there wasn't the money for both of us to be on the golf course. And when we moved down here to Faversham in Kent, Ray continued to play, joined a local club. And after a couple of years, so after COVID, actually, we've been here, it'll be 5 years in June. So after COVID, I joined and thought, you know, it'd be a nice thing to do. I don't really want to be doing the gardening business anymore and beetling up the motorway every day. Fortunately, I could cut back on work. There was quite a bit of baking work and classes going on, a lot of Zoom classes. And I started playing golf again. And I'm now totally obsessed, completely obsessed. In fact, a group of us are doing something for Macmillan, the charity Macmillan, I think they call themselves Cancer Care, on the 25th of June. And it's called the Longest Day Challenge nationwide. And you have to play four rounds of golf in a day.
Oh,
exactly. Oh, I think that's how I'm going to feel the next day. Very much. Oh, climbing up the stairs. So we start at 4:30 in the morning and hopefully finish by about 9:30 in the evening.
Gosh. Have you ever put a pedometer on to see how many steps you do if you do a whole 18 holes?
I've never looked at it before I go out and when I come back, so I couldn't tell you exactly, but a day that I play golf, it's usually somewhere between 22 and 24,000 steps, including the dog walking and the other things that happen. So Macmillan reckon we will do something like 60,000 steps.
And you've got to hit a ball.
Well, and you've got to hit a ball. However, the way I hit a ball, zigzagging my way along the fairway instead of going in a straight line, I'll probably do a lot more.
What's your handicap? Although some people would say playing golf, but what is it?
Thank you. I was going to go to the obvious comment. My handicap is, on my course, is 16. So which is pretty good, actually. I was never that before I came back to golf, which is now 2 years almost exactly. There's a new handicapping system. Do you play, Katie?
Oh, no. I used to live next door to a golf course, Jane.
Oh, okay. I don't think that counts.
No.
Really, but
But I used to get quite involved because a lot of the time I would end up with golf balls through my bedroom window. And oh, okay. I would pick up a golf ball and then say, okay, whose is this? So as I was then go back to work, because I worked on the college, and I'd walk along and anyone lost a ball? And the only time it was a famous person, because sometimes you do, don't you? Because some famous people play. It belonged, well, it's a bit of a tenuous link, the ball belonged to the husband of the mother of the very famous vet in the UK, Steve Leonard. So that's my one claim to fame with the golf. But there we are. But I know 16 is a very good handicap. I do know that. The lower it is, the better it is.
Indeed. The lower it is, the better it is. And I think I am coming back to golf a little bit too late to get very low. Oh, I'll be 70 in a couple of years. And I think my days of improving are numbered. But, you know, I'm very happy poodling around down there. And if I can get it a little bit lower, then that would be great. But it's so wonderful to be out there. It's very sociable. It's incredibly supportive of people. You know, by nature of the sport is people are a little older in general, especially the ladies, and a lot of them will be widowed, and certainly the older men, widowers. And it's a great support network. They come in, and even if they can't play, they'll come in and have a drink and have some lunch and a chat and see their friends. So not only is it great for keeping you active, we have a lot of people over 80. In fact, we played in a mixed competition on Tuesday, and we played with an 86 and an 87-year-old, the men, walking around happily hitting a very good golf ball. So I think it's a wonderful sport. And although people will say it's a bit elitist, because it is quite expensive to start, there are a lot of initiatives out there to get people in, juniors in, which are pretty inexpensive. It's great. It fills my days if they're not full enough already.
You say about not being able to learn things. Look at you. You did the London Marathon. Were you 63 when you did that?
2018, I did the London Marathon. So I would have been 63. Yeah. Yes, when I did the London Marathon. And actually, I foolishly, it was that summer or that spring that was a really hot marathon. It was 73 degrees on the day. And we had all trained in the winter and snow and ice, and it's been a nasty early start to the year. And I was working at a food festival in Bishop Auckland on the Saturday. So I'd headed up to Bishop Auckland on the Friday, did the food festival, didn't eat because you're supposed to be carbing up the day before. So they tell me I should have had piles of pasta.
Right.
Headed back on the train, picked up a burger from Gourmet Burger Stall at the festival. It wasn't one of our well-known high street chains. And got home about 10 o'clock. And that's all I'd had all day. And I wondered why I ran out of energy after about 5 miles. But not round. And Katie, this will make you laugh. We were incredibly fortunate. It was the team from Bake Off. And we had a celebrity start where the wheelchair race goes off from, and there were loads of people there that you would have certainly recognised, including some woman who was going for the record of completing the London Marathon on stilts.
Oh, Lord.
Which I think, if dressing up as a rhino is not bad enough, going around on stilts was absolutely crazy. And it's fair to say I really struggled. I found the heat hard, the fact that I hadn't eaten properly the day before, I found it incredibly difficult, although I had done a fair amount of training. Well, I got to the Mall, having walked quite a long way of the second half, and thought, oh, I just don't think I can run the last stretch. And over the tannoy, there came an announcement that the woman who was doing it on stilts had just entered the Mall. And I thought, I am not going to let somebody doing it on stilts beat me. It was either trip her up or head for the line, a little bit speedier. And yes, I mean, my claim to fame is I beat the woman on stilts.
Just.
Yes, I'll take anything, frankly.
Speaking of the Mall, of course it's going to be heaving, isn't it? Well, it's already heaving now with everybody joining and waiting for the coronation tomorrow. Are you going to be watching, Jane?
I'm certainly going to be watching the coronation tomorrow. I am an out-and-out royalist. I think they are fantastic, and I think they get a lot of very bad press. Charles especially has had a hard time over the years. I'm certainly old enough to know that people used to think he was all a bit nutty for his comments on the environment and talking to plants and hugging trees. And I think time has proven him to be totally correct. And I know all through the country he visits disadvantaged areas, and he's spent money improving some of the mining villages to get work opportunities back into those places of high deprivation. I think he ought to get a lot more credit for some of the things he's done, instead of people just saying that they're super privileged and we ought to get rid of the royal family, which I don't think we should at all. I think they do an awful lot of good for this country and bring in a lot of money, a lot of tourism. And I, for one, love to see all the pageantry. I just think we do it better than anybody else. I absolutely love it. So I will be glued tomorrow. We've been invited down to some friends of ours. They're having a bit of a coronation party. So I think they're starting with croissants and coffee at 9. I'm not going to get there until about 10:15, which I think is when the procession leave the palace. Mm-hmm. They will by that time have got their way through a couple of bottles of champagne. I don't drink, so I shall sit back and laugh at them. Yes, so we'll be sitting there eating and drinking and having a jolly good time and admiring all the costumes. I can't wait to see what people are wearing. Yeah. I just love it. It's such a good thing. Sadly, it's going to rain tomorrow, I think, down here.
Well, it was going to rain here today and it hasn't, so you never know. We're an island. It changes all the time. Yeah, so here's hoping. Indeed. I didn't realise you didn't drink, Jane.
No, I haven't been drunk for about 7 or 8 years, to be honest.
Gosh.
No, which my husband is eternally grateful because it means he's always got a designated driver. So.
Was that a conscious decision for health then, Jane?
No, not quite. I will let you into a secret, which I only told my son probably a year ago. There was a time when my son, who's now, he's always been a great big strapping lad, who's 6'5" and absolutely gorgeous, he had discovered a couple of lumps and he wouldn't let me go up to the doctor with him or anything, but he did take himself up to the doctor, so we were all a bit concerned. They turned out to be absolutely nothing. I don't know what they were. There was a special name for them. But I did say while he was going up the road to the doctors that if he was all right, I would never have a drink again. I now wish it had been chocolate that I'd given up. I would have found that considerably easier, quite frankly. So every time I think, oh, I would really love a nice chilled glass of white wine, I think, oh, I'm not going to risk it. And I know it's stupid, and friends of mine who are Catholic and religious churchgoers say I'm completely bonkers and you shouldn't make deals. Well, yeah, I think they think that I would be forgiven if I went back on it, but I don't know, I'm going to stay where I am now. I mean, my son is absolutely lovely, and I'm, if it costs me not having a drink, then, well, that's the way it is. I'll just make another cup of tea, frankly.
Oh, what did he say when you finally told him then? Because obviously this is...
Oh, he burst into tears.
Oh, God love him.
He is an absolute darling. He hadn't realised at all.
Oh, that's lovely.
I think he was left a bit speechless, really. Yeah. And I don't know how it slipped out. I think it was one of those things. My husband's terrible at keeping secrets. Absolutely terrible. And it was probably one of those things that just came out over supper one night. And Henry then said, what do you mean? And so we had to explain. And so there we go. So things we do for our darlings.
If your hubby's not very good at keeping secrets, how on earth did he keep it secret that you had not only gone into the bake-off tent twice, but was in the final once and then you won? Because he wouldn't have been able to say anything. Did he manage, or did you just not tell him? Well, you had to, though, didn't you?
Oh, no, I had to tell him.
I think you're having an affair if you kept disappearing.
Well, also, we had to do all the practice at home as well. So that he was my absolute rock, either doing the washing up when I was having a complete meltdown or heading off to Sainsbury's. sorry, other supermarkets aren't available, to get more sugar and butter and all that. I don't know how he kept it a secret, to be perfectly honest. I think it was one of those things that he was really under pain of death not to say anything. My daughter almost gave it away, I think. But no, he was very good. And then when we moved down here, he didn't really know anybody. And we were down here in Faversham when I did the Christmas bake-off. Our builder at the time did wonder why I kept making cakes with penguins stuck in the middle of August.
Oh, I love
what do you think of this penguin cake? And how about that penguin cake? Oh, bless him. But he didn't cotton on either. So how Ray kept a secret, I really don't know. I don't think he'd be able to do it now, because he and his friends down here chatter away like magpies.
Don't they? God, they always say us girls carry on, but the amount of times I've been past a group of fellas, mostly two fellas chatting, and they go and do something, you come back, and I am always drawn to say something. And I usually say, and they say women are bad. I can't help it, but it's true.
They are terrors, actually, and especially once they've had a glass of wine, they keep on going and going. And I blame the dogs for Ray, actually, because he didn't really chatter until we got a dog. And our old dog, Rosie, who died 5 years ago now, he'd take her out for a walk in you know what it's like, Hetty. You've got your gorgeous dog. People talk when they're dog walking. Yep. You have no idea who these people's names are half the time, but you know their dog's names and you recognise them from a distance and go, oh, yes, that's Bertie's mum and dad. You do call everybody by their dog's name if you don't know them. And Ray started chatting. He was never really a chatterer, but he'd go, oh, I met that lovely woman in the park. And, you know, we just passed the time of day and talked about the totem pole. Yes, so he's turned into a real old chatterer since we had the dog, which, bless her, how long ago was that? That was about 18 years ago. So he's had 18 years of practice at chattering. So, yes, they are. I do think that. But the funny thing is about men, well, there are many funny things about men, let's face it. Sorry, guys. Well, certainly about Ray, is he will never talk about personal things. They'll talk about the weather, they'll talk about football, they'll talk about golf, they'll talk about whatever it is they're interested in. But I played golf with one of these 80 odd year olds earlier on in the week, who is somebody who's played with golf with Ray for 4 or 5 years down here. And she said, do you know what? I have no idea whether he's ever been married or has any children. I thought, don't you ask these questions?
Yeah, you do. You do.
Oh, no, it's all a bit personal, that, isn't it?
They are funny.
I think they chatter superficially, but we get like down to the nitty gritty, don't we?
And we don't take long either.
And we don't.
Glyn at the moment's very happy. He had to have one of these aortic scans because he's hit a certain age this year, or he's going to hit a certain age. Of course, the person on the scan could tell him, and he used the word normal. Well, no, normal and very, very healthy. So now all I'm hearing are how healthy Glyn has his internal organ, and that's all I'm having at the moment. So try living with that, Jane. So, but yes, he's very, very healthy with his internal organ. But there we are. Anyway, up, as I always like to ask previous bakers on Bake Off, if we were to pluck you out of your series and pop you into another series, be it before or after you, where would you like to go, Jane?
Oh, that is a hard question, I think. We've just been re-watching Howard's series, which I think is series 4. I get them all out of order. And I really enjoyed watching that. Whether that was because lovely Howard was in it. So possibly that one. But I think the one that Nancy won.
Ah.
I would have liked to have been in, because I've met Richard. Mm. I've met Nancy. And I've met Martha. I've met quite a few from that series. Chetna, who lives just down the road from me. And they seem like a group like ours. They all genuinely get on, which we did. They're funny, they're lovely, they're kind and help each other. And brilliant bakers.
Wasn't that the year Dear Louis was in?
Yes, it is. Mm. Yes. So, Louis, you see so many lovely people in that series.
Do you know it's 3 years since we lost him this year?
Oh, is it 3 years? Mm,
yeah.
Goodness, I would have said it was two. Mm. 3 years. Where has that time gone? Yeah.
So, next for you then, Mrs. Do you still do a bit of gardening, or is that all gone now because you're too busy golfing?
No, I don't do any gardening, really. Having said that, I'm just about to do a bit for a very, very old client. Well, a long-standing client,
as opposed to
very old. Do you know, I don't know exactly. I have been toying with the idea of writing a children's book that is for little children, that is a story, but then based on the story, there are the recipes that go with it. Hmm. So it's not a recipe book, but it's a story. And I've got and they would be the size of a Mr. Man book. So a little book. And then there would be a series of them. So I'm just trying to work out what I'm going to call the characters at the moment. One is going to be a dog and one is going to be either a little boy or a little girl. I think it's going to be a little boy, and they get into all sorts of trouble and make some dreadful things that then. So the first one, I think, is going to be a chocolate mud cake. You can imagine what they make out of it at the beginning. So that's what I'm supposedly working on. I'm playing quite a lot of golf, and I'm just about to start a month's work at the local university, invigilating. It was really very strange, Katie. I was at Kent University I started there in 1973, and I think there were only a couple of thousand students when I was there, and now there's 20,000 students. And walking in the door of my old college felt just like it did 50 years ago. Oh. No, can't be. Yes, 50 years ago in October will be when I started there. So it's quite nice to be going back and giving a bit back, because it was quite extraordinary. I was this very shy, wouldn't say boo to a goose, little girl who started there, scared out of my wits. And yes, to be going back 50 years later and seeing other 18-year-olds that are scared out of their wits will be will be quite interesting.
Huge thank you to Jane for joining us, and we wish her well with the Longest Day Golf Challenge and that book. And you can follow Jane on Instagram. She is Jane B. Bakes. A couple of things from last week then. We chatted about Steve the chef, who I have to say, thank you again. You've had a really lovely response. We're going to get him back. He'll be back every so often. But he was talking about asparagus. And hi to Stephanie. Now, Stephanie got in touch, and you can get in touch via Facebook, Instagram, or you can email podcast@theshatbagley.co.uk. As Stephanie says, asparagus, my favourite on the barbecue. Lightly brushed with olive oil and a little salt and pepper. Cook just enough to have char marks, but still al dente. A little butter and soy sauce melted together and brushed on is great too. Ooh, I like the sound of that. And Cindy says, Katie, I need to be sure my TV is off before I listen to your podcast. It's Alexa enabled, and it picked up a line from you mentioning the Little Old Lady recipe book, and a very odd assortment of movies was suggested. Oh, that reminds me of when I used to have a cow called Pinky. Yes. Anyway, speaking of which, I've not done a book as yet. It's not really a recipe book as such. Well, I suppose it is, but it is The Student's Cookbook by Jenny Baker. It says, are you living away from home, first time, fed up with takeaways? Thinking about this with Jane, talking about going back to university to invigilate. It's gone back a long way, but really it's for those who are going to university or college. So it says, for instance, the recipes are imaginative and preparation and cooking methods realistic. Excellent, practical, informative book. I thought, okay. Anyway, there's a chapter called Equipment. And it says you may be lucky and find yourself living somewhere with a fully equipped kitchen. Chances you'll have to buy some items yourself. So this is what they're saying is the most important thing in your equipment drawer. All right, bearing in mind, it's for the student's cookbook. And it just made me smile. Corkscrew and bottle opener. Oh, there we are. Always lovely to hear from you. And thank you again for your messages. They are very much appreciated. That is it for another week. So thank you for listening, and see you next time. Right then, Bunting, here I come.